You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Tuesday, June 29th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, the Orioles just beat the hottest team in baseball. Not really sure how they did it, but they did it 9-7 on the road over the Houston Astros with a big ninth inning to take the first of three in Houston. So we will recap that game, give you the five things you need to know from that one. Then we're going to talk Orioles roster moves. O's made a whole lot of changes over this past weekend, calling up really five new players, sending five down in different ways. And it was a busy, busy weekend for Mike Elias and co. We'll talk about what Alexander Wells could do here as he made his major league debut. We'll talk about Mickey Janis getting DFA'd, seeing Connor Wade for the first time, seeing Domingo Leyba for the first time in an Oriole uniform, what the O's are going to do to replace Freddie Galvis with his long-term injury, and much, much more. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is Locked On MLB Prospects. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So we start today with an Orioles win. Haven't had a lot of them to talk about this year, but the Orioles beat the Astros 9-7 in Houston to take the first of this three-game series on the road. O's now 25-54 after the victory over the Stros. And we start with the first thing you need to know, which is the positive side of that ninth inning for the Orioles. And how about that ninth inning, if you missed it? Went in 4-4 with the score tied into the ninth. The Orioles put up five runs in the top of the ninth, and trust me, they needed all five of those runs to be able to win Monday night's ball game. But it was quite the rally for the O's. And, you know, it was interesting because the Astros did not go to their closer, Ryan Pressly, in a tie game in the top of the ninth. They instead stuck with Brandon Belak, who was in there in the eighth inning and had set down the Orioles 1-2-3 with a couple of strikeouts. He comes out back for the ninth. Cedric Mullins singles to open the inning. Austin Hayes with a two-run shot into the boxes in left field makes it a 6-4 game. But then the O's keep going. Ryan Mountcastle walks once again. Ryan McKenna with a single. Pedro Severino drives in two with a double. And then Ramon Urias adds one more with an RBI double with two outs. And all of a sudden, the Orioles have five runs in the ninth inning. It was an incredible rally. Pretty much everybody was in on it. And that was the big thing. You know, even after the Hayes home run, you think, all right, it's 6-4. You know, you love to just have a lead on this Astros team in the ninth inning. But the Orioles kept going. That was kind of the huge thing about the inning. They added three more. And again, they needed all five of those runs. Because the second thing you need to know from the game is the flip side, is what happened in the bottom of the ninth inning, kind of the bad of the ninth for the Orioles. And the first thing is, starting to get a little worried about Paul Fry. Now, to give credit to Fry, he came in the eighth inning of that game for the Orioles on Monday night and, you know, got a 1-2-3 eighth inning against Altuve, Brantley, and Gurriel. That is a tough part of the lineup to face for the Astros. And he got him 1-2-3. Came back out for the ninth. He struck out Yordan Alvarez to start the inning. It's 9-4. You're thinking this thing's over. And then Fry, you know, just lost the command a little bit. Hits Correa, Tucker singles, then a Miles Straw RBI single, then a Robel Garcia RBI single. All of a sudden, it's 9-6. There's two runners on with only one out. Tying runs coming to the plate. And Paul Fry's coming out of the game. And it's been a little bit of an issue for Paul Fry lately. His last appearance was, you know, a scoreless inning, a couple of back-to-back scoreless innings against the Blue Jays, but, you know, he wasn't a big strikeout guy in those innings, and he allowed some hard contact. And then, you know, you remember his last save chance last weekend against the Blue Jays when he came in with a three-run lead, 7-4 in the ninth, ended up getting charged with four runs and a blown save and the loss in that one. So, you know, the Orioles need him to be sharp because he's really the O's top trade candidate right now, especially out of that bullpen. And he's been great all year, but just a little shaky lately. They're going to need him to really pull it together at this point. But the Orioles go to Adam Pletko, of all people, who had blown his only save chance of this season so far. And Pletko comes in. He walks Jason Castro on four pitches. All of a sudden, you're thinking, this one's over. He walks Castro, the nine man. The bases are loaded with one out. It's 9-6. Altuve's up. You're thinking grand slam. And First pitch Altuve sees, he did crush a ball to left field, but didn't get under it enough. McKenna makes a catch on a line drive on the track. It is a sac fly to make it 9-7. And then the very next pitch, he honestly threw a fastball down the middle, 92 miles an hour, to Michael Brantley, a guy who's usually going to put that in the gap for a game-time double. But Brantley pops it up, McKenna makes the catch, and the Orioles win the game 9-7. So the duality of that ninth inning, and, you know, Fry and Pletko having their own struggles, but Orioles did enough to win the game. Third thing you need to know from this game for the Orioles is that, I mean, the whole bullpen had just an absolutely up and down day for the Orioles. You start with Cole Sulcer, who had an up and down day himself. He comes in the fourth, bases loaded, two outs at a 1-1 game after Eshelman leaves, and he walks the first batter. Altuve looked like he couldn't throw any strikes, walks in a run, it's 2-1. Then he goes 3-0 to the next batter, Brantley, before coming back to get him and get out of that jam and keep it at a 2-1 game. Then he settled down, and, you know, he pitched another inning and a third. All of a sudden, he goes an inning and two-thirds scoreless with two Ks on the day. Then you have Hunter Harvey come in. He gets charged with two runs because, you know, he got a couple of key outs one inning, then he in the sixth, then he comes in the seventh and allows the first two batters to reach. Then you have Tanner Scott, who looked like really the bad Tanner Scott of old. He comes in with first and second, nobody out, in a 4-2 Orioles lead in the bottom of the seventh, strikes out Yordan Alvarez pretty quickly to the first batter, then walks the next three batters he faces, including walking in two runs to tie the game, and then leaves. And for Scott, this was coming off one of his best performances of the year over the weekend when he struck out a couple of batters and looked ridiculous in a 1-2-3 inning. Now he walks three and just looks completely different again. But shout out to Tyler Wells, man. Tyler Wells comes in, bases loaded, one out, tie game 4-4 in the bottom of the seventh. And he steps up there and gets two of the biggest strikeouts of his career. He gets Robel Garcia looking. He gets Martin Maldonado swinging on a high fastball. He was fired up. It was awesome to see as he walked back towards the dugout. A lot of emotion from the rookie Tyler Wells. And in a high leverage situation, he did it. He kept the game tied, and that was huge for the Orioles going forward in that game. Fourth thing you need to know from this one is Cedric Mullins just doing it all. He's doing it all for the Orioles. 3-for-5 for Cedric with three singles. He did strike out once, but he stole two bases. He scored two runs on the day and was just setting that table at the top of the order. And, you know, this was the thing. He hadn't been stealing as many bases lately for the O's, but he swipes two in this game. Even one of them caused an error, and he actually got from first to third on the play. He was actually running in the ninth inning looking for another stolen base on the pitch that Austin Hayes hit the go-ahead two-run homer in the top of the ninth. And he was really just forcing the issue. Again, you know, it wasn't the power in Monday night's game, but it was the speed. It was the singles hitting. He's up to 315 with a 920 OPS. He has just been fantastic this year. And the fifth thing you need to know from this game is the Orioles did not put out a very assuming lineup. They had Ryan McKenna hitting fifth in the lineup on Monday night. They had Labo, Urias, and Valleca in there in the infield. But eight of the nine Orioles hitters got a hit. They had nine runs on 15 hits in the game. You had Mullins and Hayes each with three-hit games. You want to talk about the top of the lineup? How about the top four of the lineup? This is, you know, the Orioles' strongest top four. Mullins, Hayes, Mancini, Mountcastle. Each of them had a multi-hit game. Mullins 3-for-5, Hayes 3-for-5 with the homer and two RBIs, Mancini 2-for-5, and Mountcastle with a 2-for-3. He had the two-run homer in the fifth that put the Orioles up 3-2. He also drew two walks. Ryan Mountcastle keeps walking, did it twice in one game. That was a complete offensive performance by the Orioles. That's how you score nine runs, and that's what you have to do to beat this Astros team that's been so good and so red hot lately. Offense like that, and you just get enough outs on the defensive side. But that's how the Orioles did it. They win 9-7 to take game one from the Astros, now 25-54 on the season. But there are a lot of new faces who, you know, some of them helped the Orioles win the game on Monday night, like Ramon Urias had an RBI double, Domingo Leyba had a hit, Ryan McKenna had a hit, among others, and others who we'll see later this week in the series as well. But a lot of new faces because over the weekend, the Orioles made a boatload of roster moves. And coming up next, we are going to talk about some of those moves, how they affect the Orioles right now, how they affect the O's going forward, and what the future is for some of these guys who got called up and some of these guys who got sent down. That's coming up after the break. So we'll take a look at all of those Orioles transactions in just a second. But first, this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. The prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low, so why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? And they have everything you could need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go explore the website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and when you're there, write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So this past weekend was an extremely busy weekend for Mike Elias, Brandon Hyde, front office staff really in general. The Orioles made a whole lot of roster moves this weekend, some out of necessity, some to just try and shake things up. And we talked about on yesterday's episode how the Orioles, you know, might need some more reinforcements, especially on the pitching side. And that kind of, you know, stemmed from the fact that they brought up some reinforcements in this past week, and none of them seemed to work too well. But just wanted to get you kind of all those roster moves that the Orioles made. Really, it was Friday through Sunday was when all the moves went down for the O's, and just give a couple of thoughts on each move and how it, you know, pertains to the players that were in the move and the Orioles team right now and the organization moving forward as a whole. So did want to start with the news that came out Friday before the Orioles had really made any moves themselves, and we learned that Chance Sisko was actually claimed on waivers. Remember last week, the Orioles, after sending him down to AAA a couple weeks prior, finally DFA'd Sisko with the awful season he was having. He was claimed on waivers by the New York Mets, so he is currently on the Mets 40-man roster. They have sent him to AAA Syracuse. He has not played a minor league game yet, so we're thinking maybe when the Mets are back in action tonight, maybe Sisko will get his first game in the Mets organization. But, you know, the Mets at the major league level, James McCann, their starting catcher, they gave him big money this offseason. Then Tomas Nito has been a nice backup catcher for New York. So Sisko more for depth, but, you know, he's on a 40-man roster. So, you know, there's a chance we see him back at the big leagues at some point this season. So we will definitely keep an eye on that. Then the Orioles made some more moves themselves that same day on Friday, involving four different players. And it started with Dean Kramer, who was optioned down to AAA Norfolk for actually the third time so far this season. Now, the first time he was optioned, he went to the alternate site because the minor league season hadn't started yet. Then he went to Norfolk again, and now he goes again. So he's really been back and forth this season after making the opening day roster for the Orioles. And, you know, so far for Kramer, it's 12 starts at the big league level, a 7.25 ERA, 49 and two-thirds innings, 45 Ks, 24 walks, 14 home runs allowed, along with 56 hits. It's been tough for him, and it all kind of culminated in that start on Thursday in Buffalo in the first game of this weekend's four-game series. Gets just one out, allows six runs, walks five in the first inning of that game, and had to leave. And obviously, you know, the worst start of Kramer's career as an Oriole. So he goes back down to Norfolk. He's made two AAA starts this year. He's thrown 8 2/3 innings, allowed four runs on three hits, struck out 14, and walked five. So obviously, you know, as you can see, he's been much, much better at the AAA level for obvious reasons. But now we will get a chance to see, you know, can he pull it back together? And he's got to work on that command. You know, it's been an issue for him a lot, not just walking guys, but getting behind so many hitters. And then it turned into a lot of walks, you know, kind of culminated on Thursday night. And the worst part about it was, you know, Kramer's worst start of the year and worst start of his career came right after the start before the you know, Buffalo start on Thursday, which, you know, was six innings, two runs, probably his best start of 2021. It looked like he was turning it around, then it all fell apart. So, you know, we will definitely see him make, you know, probably I would say at least two starts in Norfolk before the Orioles think about bringing him back up. You know, it does work out that they should get John Means and Bruce Zimmerman back soon in the major league rotation, which would make it a little easier to keep Dean down at AAA. But the Orioles need help still at the major league rotation. They need Dean Kramer to get back to what he was last year. But 2021 has just been a different pitcher, frankly, at this point. But He was not the only pitcher they took off the roster in the moves they made back on Friday. The other one was Mickey Janis, who, of course, the Orioles called up, the 33-year-old right-handed knuckleballer, to make his major league debut. He pitches Wednesday night against Houston, and no way to sugarcoat it. He got clobbered. He allowed 7 runs on 8 hits over 3 1/3 innings, struck out 1, and walked 4 in his major league debut in relief. And then the Orioles DFA'd him. And, many were upset with the decision. It didn't go great when he pitched, but at least it's fun to watch the knuckleball. But, I think Mike Elias probably expected that, especially with, what happened to Janis at the major league level, that no one would claim him on waivers when the Orioles DFA'd him. Well, Mike Elias was right. Mickey Janis passed through waivers, and he has been returned to the AAA Norfolk roster. So Mickey Janis basically back where he started, where he is not on the 40-man. He is just in AAA Norfolk. Orioles would have to add him back to the 40-man if they do want to bring him back to the majors at some point. But, as we talked about, he got called up. He's been good in Norfolk, has a 2.92 ERA in 24 2/3 innings at AAA. So he'll go back there to the Tides. And, if he keeps it up, I'm sure we'll see Mickey Janis once again at some point this season. But with sending a starter and a long reliever down, the Orioles had to add 2 pitchers, and that's what they did on Friday. And they added 2 guys who ended up making their major league debuts over the weekend for the Orioles in Buffalo. And the first one was kind of the more surprising one, and that was the 30-year-old right-hander Connor Wade, who the Orioles signed to a minor league contract this offseason, a former 7th-round pick of the Rockies back in 2013. In his second stint with the Orioles at the minor league level, he was in spring training with them a couple years ago as well. And he, like Janis, had been pitching pretty well for the Orioles. He had spent most of his career in the Colorado system, pitched in the Boston system in 2019. But 2021 with the Norfolk Tides, 31 innings, a 3.48 ERA for him, just 20 strikeouts, but only 6 walks in that time. And, the Orioles saw a strike thrower and a guy who's been around the block and a guy who, maybe deserved his first appearance in the major leagues. So he comes up, and if you thought Mickey Janis's debut was bad, it went worse for Connor Wade. He pitches in the Saturday game over the weekend in Buffalo in relief for the Orioles. He allows 6 runs on 7 hits over just an inning and 2/3, a strikeout, a walk, and a home run allowed in just the 13 batters that Connor Wade faced. And that was it for him. Next day, the Orioles optioned him back down to AAA Norfolk, but did not DFA him. So Wade still is on the 40-man roster at the moment. But I would have to think, if the Orioles want to add anyone to the 40-man for any reason coming up here soon, Wade's probably going to be the first guy to get DFA'd off that roster. So we will see if he's able to stick in the organization at some point. But he is currently on the 40-man. But, once again, it just for Connor Wade, it just didn't have the major league stuff. And, I'd like to see him get more chances at AAA Norfolk. And if he's eating innings at Norfolk and having a good ERA, then that's a good guy to have at your AAA system and pitching. But it just didn't look like he really had the stuff. And maybe that's why he hadn't made it, obviously, with, 8 years in the minors and still hadn't made it to the major leagues. But the other player the Orioles called up was obviously a lot more exciting. And that was the left-hander Alexander Wells, who was, much more of a call up that the Orioles were looking forward to and that Orioles fans were looking forward to, because Wells actually a prospect in the Orioles system, ranked the number 17 prospect in the MLB pipeline, top 30 for the Orioles, the 24-year-old left-hander and native of Australia, who the Orioles signed out of Australia and, had been working his way through the Orioles minor league system since 2016 and just, was a great strike thrower pretty much everywhere. But was having kind of an interesting season. He had put up all these great numbers, and he makes his makes the AAA team out of camp this year, his first AAA innings. And he did have a 5.62 ERA in 32 innings, 27 strikeouts, only 4 walks, though. Was doing what he does, doesn't walk anybody, but was really getting, kind of hit around hard so far in AAA Norfolk. But when you actually peered into the stats a little bit more, you could see why Wells got the call up when he did in AAA, is that, his last couple of starts were much, much better than his first few. His first really 4 appearances were not good at all. in AAA, but then he turned it around. Turned it around on June 3rd. He had four scoreless innings, one hit, five strikeouts against Durham. Followed that up with five innings, one run ball against Jacksonville. Then five scoreless with four hits against Durham. His last outing was a little worse against the Bulls on June 20th. 4 1/3, four runs, seven hits, five Ks, but no walks. But, you know, was still solid striking guys out and got the call up. And to Alex Wells' credit, you know, he, although he didn't look dominant by any stretch when he came out of the Orioles bullpen in that Saturday game, actually came in after Connor Wade. They made back-to-back debuts for the Orioles after Keegan Aiken started and got pummeled. And he threw two scoreless innings, you know, allowed one hit. He didn't strike anyone out, and he did walk two, which was, you know, a little concerning considering he had walked four so far on the season in over 30 innings at AAA, and he walked two in two innings in his major league debut. But maybe a little bit of jitters, did have some runners on, but got out of a couple of jams in the seventh and the eighth of that game. And Alexander Wells, unlike Connor Wade, did enough to survive on the roster. And as of this recording here on Monday evening, you know, when you listen to this, this may change, but the Orioles have not named a starter for Tuesday night's game in Houston. And, you know, because Wells only pitched the two innings on Saturday, you get Sunday and Monday off. Kind of works as a side session. Wells could potentially be the Orioles starter in that Tuesday night game. And that is one of the reasons why he is still on the big league roster. And so obviously we want to see more of Wells. You know, it's just two innings. He's a top 30 prospect. You know, he's a guy the Orioles expect to make some kind of impact here at the major league level at some point. And we know he's not a power pitcher. He's kind of a more of a soft-tossing left-hander who throws a lot of strikes, doesn't walk guys. But, you know, he wasn't great despite getting two scoreless innings. So we'll see how it can work out for Alexander Wells. And I'd like to see him get more of a chance. You know, I hope they don't do what they did to Zach Lowther, which, you know, his debut came and then he was sent right back down. Then he came up and made a start and sent right back down. It kind of went back and forth. I'd like to see Wells, you know, if he can have a little more success, maybe stick around. And I'm not saying he has to be in the big leagues for the entirety of the rest of this 2021 season, but I'd like to see him maybe get, you know, a few weeks in the bigs, either working out of the bullpen or get himself a few starts. Then maybe, you know, when Means and Zimmerman get healthy, he can go back down to Norfolk and get, you know, four, five, six, seven AAA starts in a row before coming back to Baltimore. But I don't want them to do what they did to Lowther, which is kind of just pull him back and forth. But Wells is here for now, and hopefully he does get himself a start. And you know, the Orioles made those moves in the Friday, before the Friday game, and one more move related to the Orioles came Saturday. Max Soroller, who was DFA'd last week, he was not claimed on waivers, so the former Rule 5 pick has been returned to the Cincinnati Reds system, was the one other update. But the Orioles made a lot of moves on Sunday as well. That was because Freddie Galvis went down with an injury that did not look great on Saturday. When we come back, we'll talk about that Galvis injury, all the moves the Orioles made because of it, and what this means for the Orioles infield specifically moving forward this season. That's coming up after the break. So we'll get back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first, gotta tell you about Wild Alaskan Company. We all know we should be eating more fish to get our omega-3s and protein, but the seafood counter can be intimidating. Which fish tastes the best? What type of cut? Can you really be sure about the quality? Well, Wild Alaskan Company takes the guesswork out of buying wild-caught seafood. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced wild-caught seafood right to your door. You can choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination, and every month there are different specials to explore. And you can adjust, pause, or even cancel your membership anytime. And they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. One more time, that's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. And make sure to use our URL to let them know we sent you. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now we get baseball season in full swing. You can track all the action at betonline.ag. Hey, maybe you want to get in on the Ryan Mountcastle for AL Rookie of the Year train right now. He's had a red-hot month of June, and if he keeps it up like this, he could be right back in the running. But it's not just baseball you can bet on. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the NBA and the NHL, both of those sports in the playoffs right now, with the Stanley Cup Finals on the NHL side starting last night. So before the next pitch, puck drop, or tip-off, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. So again, head to the website today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So back on Friday, the Orioles seemingly made some moves to shake things up, like we talked about. You know, Mickey Janis maybe didn't work out, Dean Kramer was struggling, they felt like they needed to make some changes. But the moves that were made on Sunday were somewhat more out of necessity and had to do with an injury to, frankly, one of the guys who's been one of the Orioles' most important players so far this season, and that is Freddie Galvis. Galvis, after laying down a bunt for a base hit in the second inning of Saturday's game in Buffalo, came up lame, mostly on his way down to first base, and it obviously definitely looked like some sort of, you know, leg injury that he was dealing with, and he had to come out of the game early in that Saturday game. And, you know, we learned later in the day that it was a right quadriceps injury for Galvis, and, you know, it was not one of the ones that, you know, keeps you on the 10-day IL and you're out for a week or two. The right quad strain for him is pretty serious, and Brandon Hyde said they're going to be without Freddie Galvis for 1 to 2 months. I mean, it seems like best-case scenario might be, you know, you would think 4 weeks, but the way he's talking, best case scenario might be 6 weeks without Freddie Galvis in the Orioles lineup. And after a really, really slow start to the season, Galvis, who the Orioles, of course, brought in this offseason, the 31-year-old shortstop, he has been fantastic for the Orioles. I mean, you know, only a baseball reference war of 1.0, but, you know, he's been above average this year. He's been basically a major league average hitter most of the year. And, you know, 72 games for him, hitting .249, .306 on base, .720 OPS. He's got 9 homers, 12 doubles. He's driven in 26. You know, he's hit pretty much in every spot in the lineup. Obviously a switch hitter for the Orioles, and has done a really great job defensively for the O's at shortstop as well, among a defense that, you know, is pretty shaky at times. But he's been one of the solid forces defensively for the Orioles. And, you know, he's also been a veteran leader on this team that's had a lot of young guys and a lot of unproven guys on the squad so far this year. And this is going to be a huge loss for the Orioles. Again, it feels like maybe best case scenario, 6 weeks without Freddie Galvis right now. I mean, this puts the Orioles well into August at the very least before they would get Galvis back. And, you know, it may not be until September that he is back in an Oriole uniform. You know, that is a pretty long time without your veteran starting shortstop. And now the question becomes for the Orioles, you know, what do they do in the meantime without Galvis? Because this is not, you know, his injury he sustained earlier this year where he had a, you know, leg injury. He missed 2 or 3, maybe 4 days. You know, they just kept him on the bench. You know, they called up and they had Valleca there and guys like Arias and just replacing him for a couple days and then he was back. And this is not, you know, a 2 week injury where you can just kind of fill the holes. This is a long term thing. And so the Orioles had to make some decisions right away on Sunday to make some roster moves, and they actually ended up making a slew of moves. You know, they placed Freddie Galvis on the 10-day injury list. Now, it is good that they didn't directly place him on the 60-day IL, although that's not usually something that happens. It usually happens later, but we would hope he's, you know, going to be back in less than 60 days, but we will see. And then, you know, we mentioned they optioned Connor Wade, who had had the bad, you know, Major League debut on Saturday to clear up space. And then the final move they made, which was a little more surprising, was to option Stevie Wilkerson. Now, you know, he doesn't play shortstop, but he basically plays every other position, can play all three outfield positions and play second base and third base. And so he gives you some versatility that you might need with Galvis out. But frankly, you know, Stevie just wasn't doing enough at the plate, and he was struggling defensively at second that it just didn't make sense to keep him around. 30 games for Stevie at the big league level, 76 plate appearances, with hitting just .167, just a .211 on base, just a .419 OPS, didn't have a homer, had 3 doubles. Had only worked 3 walks and had struck out 30 times in 30 games, and he was definitely a minus player for the Orioles. And so Stevie, they did not DFA him, so he stays on the 40-man roster, but he goes back down to Norfolk, where, you know, he was playing pretty well. You know, he was hitting .357 in 12 games with Norfolk before the Orioles called him up. So, you know, he'll be a versatile guy for the Tides. But Stevie's another guy who could potentially get DFA'd off the 40-man at some point. You know, I would say Connor Wade is the first option. Stevie's probably the next option if the Orioles need to clear space off the 40-man. But right now, he stays in Norfolk, just optioned down there. So with three players off the active roster, they had three open spots. And before we get to the infielders, the first thing the Orioles did was call up Ryan McKenna. And, you know, there wasn't any outfielders who got sent down or went on the injured list. Obviously, Stevie can play outfield, but he's played mostly second base this year. But they called up McKenna because, frankly, although Santander and Hayes neither are going on the injured list, neither are 100% either. Now, Hayes looks a lot better than Santander. Anthony Santander looks about 60% when he's out there, and it kind of looks like he should go back on the injured list, but the Orioles called back up McKenna to, get a healthy fourth outfielder type who can run, who can play good defense, and just, you know, first of all, he came up and gave Cedric Mullins a break. Mullins got the day off Sunday, and McKenna came right up, started in center field, hit leadoff, and went 2-for-4, had a pretty nice day. But, you know, 34 games for McKenna this year at the big league level, 52 plate appearances, hitting just .217, .308 on base, just a .283 slugging, you know. He has a double, a triple, no homers yet, 16 strikeouts, 6 walks for McKenna, 1-for-1 stealing bases, and, you know, has played all three outfield positions pretty well. But, you know, he'll just be kind of that fourth outfielder type to fill in for Santander and others. And, you know, we'll see if Santander ends up on the injured list. But, you know, for McKenna, who had also been swinging it really well at the minors, you know, he's hitting .269 with a .949 OPS in 17 games in Norfolk. He was really heating up this past time that he went down to the Tides. Does have 6 home runs in 17 games with Norfolk. So he deserved this call-up. But the more interesting part was what the Orioles did in the infield, because you have to address the issues, especially when you've already sent Stevie Wilkerson down as well and you've lost Freddie Galvis. You know, your options at infield on the team are Pat Valleca. Now, Valleca can play all 4 infield positions and a little bit of outfield, but, you know, you had to figure out what to do with the rest of your infield positions, because even if you're moving Valleca full-time to short, and you've got some other options to make, and we saw Valleca play a lot of shortstop defensively in 2020, and we've seen a little bit of it 2021, it's not pretty. That's not where you want him. So the Orioles made 2 call-ups. The first one was, of course, a recall of Ramon Arias. And I think this was the move that most people saw coming. Arias, who has, of course, been with the Orioles and the Bigs before in both 2020 and 2021, can play second base and can play shortstop, which is the key. So I think we figured, you know, you combine Arias and Valleca, and for now, you kind of fill that hole at shortstop. Arias now 26 games in the Bigs this year, 68 plate appearances, hitting .250, .338. On base percentage, couple of homers, and 3 doubles for him. And Arias down at AAA Norfolk had been okay, 24 games, you know, with an .823 OPS, 6 doubles, and 4 homers for him. You know, 27-year-old right-handed hitter, again, plays second and short, had a nice day offensively in the lineup on Sunday. But, you know, he was the guy I think we thought was going to come up because he can play shortstop as well. And between him and Valleca, you know, maybe you can patch your way through. The thing that I think had a lot of people really infighting on Orioles Twitter was basically what the other infielder was going to be. And many of us assumed it was going to be Jamai Jones because, frankly, Jamai Jones has been obliterating the baseball at AAA Norfolk since he returned from the injured list, you know, early in June. And Jones, who, of course, was the piece they got back in the Alex Cobb trade this offseason with the Angels, and he had been fantastic for the Tides and just killing the baseball. 25 games with Norfolk, hitting .307, .421 on base. He's got 4 homers. He's got 5 doubles. He's got 17 strikeouts and 16 walks in that time. You know, he's just been fantastic, .966 OPS. Yes, the defense isn't amazing at second, but he's also played the outfield some in AAA, showing that versatility. Of course, he was drafted as a center fielder, so we know he can play out there. And everybody thought, well, they'll call up Jamai Jones. They'll have him and Arias and Valleca. And Jones will play mostly second base. And then Valleca and Arias will kind of split time at short with, you know, maybe the two of them playing when Jones needs a day off. And the Orioles will kind of figure it out from there. And, you know, they'll keep an eye on Mason McCoy at AAA. Hopefully Richie Martin will come back from his broken wrist at some point to give the Orioles another option. But I think that was kind of the assumption. And then it didn't happen. And what did happen instead for the Orioles is they called up Domingo Leyba, who the O's claimed earlier this month off of waivers from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, we talked about Leyba on an earlier episode. You can go back and listen to that one. But, you know, a versatile guy can play, you know, second, third, and shortstop. Switch hitter, 25 years old, former fairly highly ranked prospect in a couple of different systems. And, you know, had been in the Bigs with Arizona in 2019, had been okay in 21 games. And then in 14 games with the Diamondbacks this year, He was 0 for 22 at the plate before getting DFA'd. But the Orioles, you know, called him up. He was hitting very well at Norfolk since the Orioles grabbed him at Norfolk this year. 23 games, 373 on base, 344 batting average. This is his combined AAA stats between Arizona and Baltimore. 9 home runs, 3 doubles. He was hitting very well with the Orioles in Norfolk. And so, you know, the Orioles call him up and, you know, he has an 0 for 4 with a couple of Ks as he gets the start on Sunday in Buffalo. But, you know, I'm fine with Domingo Leyva. He's a good depth piece, can play a lot of positions. You know, the Orioles want to give him a chance. He makes his Orioles debut. But you just have to feel like, what does Jamai Jones have to do? And I get it. He doesn't play shortstop. Freddy Galvis is a shortstop, gets injured. So you need somebody to come up and play short. But you have Valleca there. It's not great, but you've shown that you'll play him there. You call up Arias, who's shown that he can play a solid shortstop. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. So you have those two already there. And then you're thinking, okay, there's no spot. You know, they'll keep Stevie Wilkerson up. But if you're going to send Stevie Wilkerson down, who also doesn't play shortstop, why not just call up Jamai Jones, who's just a much, much better version of Stevie Wilkerson? And this is not some sort of, you know, service time manipulation. Jamai Jones made his big league debut in 2020. He played in 3 games for the Angels last season. That clock has already started. So it's not about, oh, you get another year of, you know, whatever it may be, control of Jamai Jones. He's been up already with the Angels. And, you know, the arguments about, you know, he's got to work on his defense, That's been kind of an issue for him his whole minor league career. He's been working on it, He's playing second base and playing the outfield in Norfolk. He's gotten a lot of reps. We're at the point where we need to see Jamai Jones in the major leagues. And he's an exciting prospect who came over in the Alex Cobb trade, who's a top 30 guy for the Orioles. And nothing against Domingo Leyva, but he's a waiver claim from a couple weeks ago. And it's fine to see him, I guess, but let's get Jamai Jones to the big leagues. It's just not what the Orioles have done. And, you know, now it's like, when does that time come? Does it take another 0 for 22 from Leyva for him to get DFA'd, and then you finally go to Jamai Jones? Does it take, you know, Arias just not hitting at all, or Valleca just continuing to not hit? Just what's it going to take? Because they're going to be without Galvis for a while, and I get that Jones doesn't play shortstop, but if you have Arias or Valleca or both, then you can put Jones at second base, and he gives you a little versatility. He can play the outfield. He's a perfect guy to have up on the team right now, and just don't get why he's not there. But that's what the Orioles did in all their moves this weekend, and what it means for the team moving forward. And again, you know, keep an eye on a guy like Mason McCoy as well. He is kind of that next shortstop option, true shortstop option that the Orioles have at the AAA level that they could bring up if Valleca and Arias just aren't working out. But of course, there is Orioles baseball on once again tonight. Game 2 in Houston, 8:10 p.m. Eastern time start. And Jose Urquidy is going to start the game for the Astros against the Orioles. Urquidy, the 26-year-old right-hander with a 3.32 ERA on the season, making his 14th appearance of the year. His last start was against the Orioles, and he dominated in the final game of that series in Baltimore last week. 7 scoreless innings, 6 Ks, 1 walk, and 3 hits. And he will go up against the O's tonight as they try to beat a red-hot Houston team. But we'll be back with you here on the pod tomorrow. We will recap Game 2 of this 3-game series between the O's and the Stros. We'll look ahead to Game 3. But also, we have a fun guest on the podcast tomorrow. The 21st round pick of the Orioles back in 2019, Toby Welk, out of Division III Penn State Berks, has climbed his way already up to the AA level with the Bowie Bay Sox. And in his first week with Bowie, hit 2 home runs already and is once again impressing with the bat. And Toby Welk is going to join the pod tomorrow. We're going to talk about his journey through Division III baseball, his journey up the ladder in the Orioles system, you know, kind of his hitting approach and the chip on his shoulder he plays with being a D3 guy. And we'll also ask him the number one question you have to ask a Pennsylvania native: Wawa or Sheets? That's all coming up on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.